Legislator Erner?
I move that we come out of executive session.
Sarah? Gina? Me? Anybody?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, and on your way out, could you let folks know or just open the door?
I can. Thank you all. And they brought bags for you all.
Have a great time. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
I got one last week, so.
Me too, yeah.
Okay, Chelsea, did you get one? Do you want mine?
I have one, thank you.
I don't need it. I got one the other time.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry this took much, it took a little longer than we expected. But I hope you guys are okay, and thank you for coming in. I think right now, we took no action after executives. Go ahead.
Oh, right, I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sorry.
And I want to get right to. Even though it's new business, we'll go back to the resolutions, but folks have been here a long time, so maybe we should just ask them to, we're not acting tonight, it's still new business, but if they want to address local law number 12, is that?
We're moving ahead to new business, okay, great.
It's on the order, so we can.
So they don't have to sit here until 11.
I understand. Well, yeah, probably.
We're holding on this, right?
Both of them?
Yes, both. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Sorry. So just so that you don't have to. Stay as we go through resolution by resolution, you're welcome to, but in case, you know, it's already taken quite a bit of time, and I think what we'd like to do is hear from you so that, you know, we don't have a resolution immediately in front of us. This is a relatively new proposal, So if anybody would like to speak, please go ahead. And just identify yourself for the clerk and for the record.
My name is Lee Goff, and I'm from a local community grassroots group called The Ecosystem. And I live in Esopus, and I haven't really prepared comments because I wasn't expecting to be able to take this opportunity, but thank you. I will say that our water, as it is for 106,000 other people in Ulster County and Dutchess County, is the Hudson River. And I've only lived in Esopus 2 years, but in my 2 years there, what I've learned is that my neighbors do not have confidence in their tap water. I watch them fill bottles of plastic water and go to Mary's Well. Because they have cancer and they're sick, some of them, and they don't trust that the water is clean. In other words, they don't feel that they have their human rights to clean water being respected. And on top of that, last week, the Champlain Hudson Power Express broke ground up in Whitehall. And the Champlain Hudson Power Express is a project to bring an electricity corridor to benefit New York City down from unceded indigenous land in Canada. And nobody has ever asked the Innu Nation of Labrador, where most of this electricity would come from, about the devastation of the Innu people that they have suffered. And therefore, our right to clean water is also connected to the right of the people who are north, the indigenous people who haven't had their right to their own land or water or livelihood or good health respected. there's other threats coming for the Hudson River right now, which include radioactive effluent being released into the Hudson. And I know you were at the DOB meeting yesterday, as I was, making comments. And the public, there is nowhere that we can, we who drink the water of the Hudson and shower with it, there's nowhere we can go right now to find out who's testing how much radioactive material is in the Hudson. I did a quick search because somebody at the DOB meeting said, oh, it's online, Department of Health publishes it, but they don't. And unless you're a researcher, you don't have access to that. So it's really a people's right being violated. And we don't know for sure what radioactive elements are in the Hudson, otherwise known as the Mahikanatuck, the river that flows all ways. And it's the nature of water to move in all directions, unpredictably. And what we know is that no amount of radioactive elements are safe in our water. And it represents a public health threat. And so over the summer, we began to research an emerging legal field called Rights of Nature to confer on the Hudson River legal civil rights type rights as an entity. And these rights would give the Hudson River the same rights or equal rights that the corporations that pollute the Hudson have. And they, right now, they have more rights than the Hudson River, and they certainly have more rights than people. But it's been the centering of people that has put our environment out of balance. And I know that Ulster County has thought of declaring a climate emergency or redeclaring a climate emergency. And part of that emergency is that coming down at us is going to be that water is becoming more and more precious. And we want to honor that with Local Law 12, and we're really hoping that it will be moved to a public hearing so that more and more people can hear about it. And already the people that we've told about it in our grassroots group are very excited about it. And there are people who are interested in what we're doing in Ulster County, from the North Country, from Labrador itself, from all over New York City, because it's connected to Tier 4 renewables. And so I encourage you to really consider this in a serious way. Thank you.
Go ahead, but please, let's be as concise as we can.
This is a very interesting time, because the way that our governance works in terms of us being natural beings, and then the whole structure of government seems to be at odds with recognizing that we as natural beings are sustained by water, air, earth, and sun. That there's a disconnect between the way that our governments are set up and the fact that we are natural beings. And I understand that it's somewhat of a problem, because it involves a spiritual knowing, which isn't recognized by our governmental entities. So it's an interesting crossover in terms of bringing this to a legislative body, because the way that things have been functioning, we don't have the ability to take this compartmentalized part of the human experience where we are spiritual beings, but then we have this whole governance. And so I'm glad that we're here and trying to approach this on some level, but I understand it's going to be a very difficult thing for this body to actually go forward with, because we already have the idea that natural law shows that we shouldn't be polluting our water, that it should be alive so it sustains our lives. And yet we commoditize everything, which is actually deadening it, because we can't really put a price on our lives and the life force.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Thank you. Thanks, Eric. I'm Stacy. I just want to say briefly that I think these puppets speak for what we want to say. So the water is us, and we are the water. so that we can flow in a way that is ever-changing, that I have faith that all of you as dynamic beings can flow in different directions and figure out how we can balance commerce and life.
Thank you.
And I just want to say that
I just responded to your text.
I'm Ryan. And
could you speak up, because I'm having hearing difficulty tonight.
Yeah, I'm Ryan. I just wanted to talk about like different pollutions, and you know, if the waters aren't protected, then people are getting sick, and that's affecting our local community and all of our communities, you know, down the Hudson River, and that is okay, and that's the disease that we could be dealing with, and that's what I have to say.
Okay, that door can be open now.
It's cracked.
Okay, I think what I'd like to do now is get back to the resolutions and take them in order. But before we do, Phil, and then I would also like to ask our attorney if he has any comments from a legal perspective. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Phil, go ahead. Legislator Erner.
Oh, that's fine.
And this is back on, yeah?
Yeah, I was just checking. Are we gonna finish discussing this topic and then get back to the rest of the agenda?
Why don't we do it all now? Because they'd probably like to be here for our discussion as well. So we might as well just finish up this part of the business.
Yep.
Okay. Fantastic. I want to thank you, Stacy, Ryan, Lee, and Eric for coming and speaking with us this evening, and Lee actually. For originating this really for our county, you and some others over there in Connolly, but thank you. And you know, I have a packet of letters here that folks have sent from support, as has been mentioned, from north to south. I suspect just the beginning. Have some information here about how in Virginia they became one of the first states to recognize disproportionate impact of pollution on Black, Indigenous, and low-income communities. This is from earlier this year. We heard that the town of Potsdam recently passed a measure that's similar to what we're talking about this evening. I know that they have a little bit of different structure how they govern there, so they passed it and then they have to send it to their legal team afterward. The town of Wales out in Erie County has something going on. Those are just examples in New York State. I'm aware of a community in Pennsylvania that passed a law saying you can't dump hydrofracking waste in our community, and at first it sounded like the higher-ups in the state government were rejecting that, but ultimately a judge said that they were within their rights to ban that within their borders. And we can go on with other examples across this continent and on other continents, but as was mentioned, this idea of either a higher level of government isn't doing enough to protect us, or the government is even in cahoots with the polluters, is, and so we need to assert some local authority over the matter. But a lot of this is just words, and I think that sometimes you need more than just words. So does everybody remember Harry Belafonte's song, Turn the World Around? You know, we come from the water, living in the water, go back to the water, turn the world around. We come from the water, living in the water, go back to the water, turn the world around, join it if you know it. We come from the water, go back to the water, turn the world around. We come from the river, living by the river, go back to the river, turn the world around. We come from the river, living by the river, go back to the river, turn the world. You can do it as a round too. We come from the river, go back to the river, turn the world around. Like, that's a song for all ages. There's kids songs. Why do we sing these songs growing up? Why do we sing about the wheel of the water goes round and round? Why do we do that? Why? Who needs water? We all need water, right?
Yes.
I come from Eastern European Jews. I wish I knew my ancestors' Yiddish songs, but I know some Hebrew ones about water. I mean, it's, you know, there's a song and a dance about the water, you know, like my besasson, which means like we're celebrating the water. You know, shaftan my besasson, my neha yeshua, shaftan my besasson. Like, and we can't do that if we don't have the water, and we can't do that if we don't have clean water. So whether this particular effort works and succeeds in doing that for us, we're having the discussion, and I really appreciate it. So thanks for coming along.
So is it possible will you all speak very briefly about how you feel about this?
Yeah.
Because that's the big thing we wanted to, we're excited to hear what you have to say.
I speak on everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this was really great, but I mean, I think we kind of need to get back to our agenda if we could at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to say about this specific to what we're going to be voting on eventually here that's in new business now. And I grew up in the trailer park in Connolly. We moved down to Connolly, into a house in Connolly eventually, and then into Port Ewan. And in the 80s and 90s, my mother was always going, organizing community stuff to call out the water. There was times you couldn't, it was so strong of chlorine that you couldn't drink it. We were going and bottling water. My mother wouldn't let us drink tap water when I was a kid. I'm thankful that she was kind of thinking about it, and a lot of other people weren't. There's still those issues. And in Mesopus, it's not just what they're getting from the Hudson, but you have some pipe issues out there as well, and how even if the water is clean leaving the plant, which I don't trust, how it gets to you. When it comes to something like this, this is a memorializing resolution. Like Phil says, it's words. And it's words with the right intent. But what it comes down to is two things. Is our government going to regulate for us, these people, even if they're, I'm a registered Democrat. I don't believe Democrats most of the time care anymore about the environment once they get in, especially the powerful Democrats, unfortunately. I always voted for Democrats because I figured, well, they're not going to frack, they're environmental. But now what I find is, most Democrats that get voted in really don't give a damn about clean water. They're not going to regulate the big corporations out of doing what's right. Even on this level here, as we watch our assembly members and executives go after, whether it's Westchester Medical or Central Hudson, it's all a wink and a nod. They make statements out in front of the cameras, and then they're taking their donations a week later. So it's two things that our government needs to do.
I take some umbrage at your point that Democrats don't care about the environment. I also think that we need to get back to our agenda.
Chris, I got
Eric, this is a meeting. You know what?
Eric, hold on a second. This is a meeting governed by Robert's Rules of Order, and you're out of line right now. You didn't get called on. If the chair decides that I'm going on too long, or Phil's going on too long, or we don't want to hear from these individuals anymore, that's the chair's decision. But as far as interrupting me to take umbrage with something I said, you're going to have to live with that unless you get called on. All right. There's two things.
Thank you for that, Joe. I certainly appreciate it.
There's two things. We'll still be friends. I didn't appreciate what you just did. So there's two things that our government needs to do, and I think it needs to go beyond this. As activism is out there so strongly, I think what it lacks sometimes, and what this lacks, is tangible action. What do we want our representatives to do as far as regulation, actual regulations go, and what we want our government to do with our tax dollars. We have a $380+ million budget right here in the county. What are we doing for water? What are we doing for water? We don't have a wastewater water department as they do in Dutchess County that gets involved in situations like this in municipalities with the Sopus's water, especially their pipes. We just had $35 million in ARPA funds that we pissed away, or we could have went out there, taken all that money and done something real with water, but we didn't. So when I see things like this, 10, 12 years ago, I used to be more excited, especially once I got involved in government. I see the best of intent, real activism, real grassroots energy, but I don't, and then I see the elected officials and the people in power that actually have an ability to do something about this water. Not, you know, we need to hold them accountable. They will listen, but we have to be specific about what we're asking for, and that's what we got to go and even further now and start figuring out the specific things we want for a Sopus. And then we can find, and then we, believe me, there's waste and fat in this budget. We can do more. We can do more about these pipes. We can do more. We had ARPA funds. We still have a few more. There's more we can do for you that way, and with regulations. But and I think how much water, where is the water coming? Right now we're talking about housing. We're, and when all the housing out here, Tech City, Paradise Lane, we're building housing on brownfields, which is insanity. But where, as we need more and more water infrastructure, money spent on actual water infrastructure that we have that's not good enough, like what you guys have in a Sopus, we have to figure out whether we can even handle anymore. How much more clear cutting, how many people, no, even the greenest people, like manager, even her name is green. She still produces carbon and waste. So people, even when we're doing everything right, we need to have a conversation about what the population of Ulster County can be, especially as we're funding, how taking those the tax dollars that could be spent on fixing some of the water issues we have, we're bringing in more water issues. Now we're building housing on brownfields with tax dollars. So anyways, I wanted to give you my opinion. You guys wanted my opinion. That's my opinion on everything. I'm with you, but I think we need to get more specific.
I want to acknowledge that legislator Stewart asked that we get back to the agenda. There is another water.
This is on the agenda, by the way.
I took it out of order, though.
Resolution.
I want to get through the resolutions, because one of them is a water resolution for sure, and you're welcome to stay, but I wanted to, you know, with people spending as much time as you did, I wanted to at least be sure you had a chance to be heard. So with that, I'm going to turn to resolution number 546. Authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into an agreement with the Hudson River Drinking Water Intermunicipal Council, also called the Hudson Seven, to include Ulster County as a member and to provide financial assistance for the hiring of a full-time protection coordinator, Department of Environment. And with that, a motion for purpose of discussion?
Second.
Second. Any comments or concerns? Please.
What happened with the voting member part of this?
Yeah. I want to say that the actual resolution has some strikeouts that are amending it, but if we decide to act on it, we can act on it. We don't have to amend it. We can act on it as amended. So if you'd like I can
have a voting member?
Yes. Read the strikeouts.
Yes.
It's the executive on consultation with the legislature.
What the hell does that mean? Why can't we just have the chair appoint? We're doing this ourselves. We talk about it all the time. Executive power begins with all these appointments. Why don't we give the legislature the appointment? Why does the executive have to appoint 400 different people, one powerful person, and we do it ourselves? This is ours. Why do we take the power away from ourselves in a body? It's always better.
Legislator Erna?
I mean, I agree with Legislator Maloney. I do want to note that Dutchess is similar. Maybe we could take another week, like we're having a special meeting anyway, right, before session, and just ask whoever we need to ask in the Hudson 7 or Dutchess County if they're going to be in a similar, maybe we don't care how Dutchess County works, but here in Ulster County, I agree with Joe.
The Charter Commission's talking about this right now, how to get more appointments to the legislative body rather than the executive. You see, Albany, executive powers become a problem. There's no real checks and balances. One of the main things you can do is talk about diversifying some of the appointments away from the executive. And we have a chance here. I don't know why we didn't do that. I talked to Tracy about it. I guess the best she can come up with is some kind of wordage that's not even enforceable, but that they're going to consult with I don't know what that means. I really think to empower the standing committees, it should come out of the recommendation to the chair of the legislature makes the appointment after hearing the recommendation of this standing committee here.
Did you see, at the bottom?
I got my phone went dead and I have all the background.
No, on the bottom of page 2, it just has resolved that Ulster County's inclusion into the Hudson 7 as a voting member and its financial contribution is contingent on the authorization and execution of said agreement by each current member of the Hudson 7 as well as Dutchess County. So it's kind of in there that it's contingent.
But there's also a strike through, which means that there's a problem. They struck through the upon consultation part for our county. Do you see that, Joe?
Where's that?
Where? What page? First page?
It's where I had highlighted. It's
on this one. Yeah. The parties agree that the County of Ulster shall be a voting member of the Ulster County Executive upon and now consultation with.
But it's crossed off.
Where are you?
So literally read the Ulster County Executive upon the Ulster County.
It's in the backup.
Okay.
That's
okay.
I don't have backup printed.
So can we?
I'm happy to make a call tomorrow and try and get this straightened out.
Can we do that? Can we put the vote off till we have to meet?
Well, can we just add it to that 5-minute meeting we're having?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So rather than postponing, we'll just take no action. Yeah. And we'll resolve that
on
one
the 19th,
loose end.
Right?
There have been quite a few back and forth. So, do you have any concerns or suggestions on this other than
about the specific appointment issue? Or the,
yeah,
I actually don't have the backup. So,
No, this is not the. Okay, you're saying the appointment within the Hudson 7 resolution.
One of the things that the committee might want to consider is whether, for purposes of this resolution and this evening, whether you would approve the resolution no matter what the appointment mechanism is. In other words, go through the thought process. If the legislature had the appointment, would you approve it? If the executive had the appointment, would you approve it? If it was a mix somehow, would you approve it? Because
I think we want to be very clear.
Okay, because there's an external thing where we're telling the world we're going to join the Hudson 7 as long as they amend their agreement.
No, we want to do it all at once, and we want to be clear.
I use the
issue that came up earlier of the difficulty that we have year after year because of a strange configuration with the UCRA appointments. So we don't want to repeat that. We want to be clear and precise. And, I was fine with the executive appointing and the legislature approving, but I'd also be just as fine with the chair appointing. So that has to be resolved.
No, he had his hand.
Yes, please.
My understanding of how the discussion went is that the intent was to allow for the creation of the decision-making process to be done internally based on that language so that it can happen at a later date, determining who has the authority to make the appointment upon agreement between the legislature and the executive. And we would be able to sign this agreement as it is.
So what you're saying is we pass literally basically a local law that doesn't have, so the public we pass this, the public says, okay, and then we go behind closed doors and decide something that should be, you know, ruled upon in black and white. For, I mean, I don't like the idea of not having it in the law. I mean, what you know, right. And what you just described is in that room over there, Tracy doesn't talk to any, have to talk to any legislator. She goes over there and sits with Jen in a month, and then they come up with somebody they like. I don't like that. I want the law to be how this is going to work, and I want the body involved.
So can we maybe make an amendment to Joe's point and suggest that it's left to the chair of the Ulster County Legislature upon consultation with this committee? Can we just add that?
That's what I hope to add.
So,
well, yes, we can. Somebody can make a motion to do that.
It doesn't change.
So I make that motion. That we,
and I second it.
Okay, now we can discuss it. What was the amendment?
The amendment was.
So it would change it, the wording of the resolved clause, so that it says, the chair of the Ulster County Legislature is hereby authorized to execute an agreement with the Hudson Seven. I'm sorry.
Duchess County.
Can I see that sheet?
But if we could just add this, to say that it's up to the chair to appoint the person based on consultation with this group, with this committee.
You take executive out.
So that we don't have the power to change this in this room right now.
But I'm just coming up. I'm just using it to come up with the wording.
Okay.
So it would read that in the whereases, it would be the Ulster County legislative chair upon receiving a recommendation from this committee. Or you'd have to probably put, we need to talk to Ragucci probably, because this committee, they could change the word, the title of this committee, so said commit, whatever, they have to, some committee.
Committee or jurisdiction.
Then appoints. It just takes out exact and puts in chair with a recommendation from a committee, a standing committee.
Right.
So can we make a motion to,
whatever the, if you're going to try to convince us.
Yeah, there isn't specific language about who will make that appointment.
Where is it? Can I see it? What page is it on?
So,
but I agree with Joe. I mean, I think we should have some input on Tracy's decision.
The process behind the scenes of getting seven municipalities and two counties all on board with the same language has been rather onerous. First time when it came to the committee, and then over the past month where we've negotiated back and forth with them about the language. This language that is in the amendment now, to my understanding, has been negotiated between the executive's office and the legislative office.
Wow.
And was very specifically...
When you say legislative office,
chair?
When you say executive office, I know what you mean,
sure.
The executive.
Right.
When you say legislative office, I'm an elected legislature, and I know nothing of what you're speaking of. So when you say legislative office negotiated this, what do you mean? I don't think
any
legislator in
that.
Here knows anything what you mean.
I can't speak to that.
I want to make a suggestion, and it's really important to clarify these documents. What the resolution before us... tonight, as I see it, and I'm just working off of whatever was sent out by the clerk, has no provision whatsoever relating to the appointment mechanism.
That's right.
Let me finish. Let me go on. The language that some of the legislators are looking at, starting with Legislator Maloney, is the director was talking about, is the language of the intermunicipal agreement and the proposed change language to the intermunicipal agreement. This is what all the Hudson 7, which will become the Hudson 9,
yes,
are agreeing to have in the intermunicipal agreement. My suggestion is, I have two suggestions relating to what we're talking about. Number one, the language of the IMA is not that critical for us. At this point, it's very general. It just says Ulster County, which is actually extraneous to what they're doing in terms of our internal workings, will have some agreement between the legislature. It says consultation with the legislature in the ESAC. That may not be precise, but for the purposes of the IMA and for our concerns, it's not a big deal. We're going to consult with them somehow. It's a black box. We'll specify that. But for the IMA, it's probably not critical for us. In my opinion, it may not be critical
you have
enough
the
for
IMA
us
there, right?
To upset the apple cart. What we need, if this committee so desires and if the legislature so desires, is a more specific provision for how this is going to work with the executive in our resolution, which right now has nothing. So if this is a concern to the committee and to the legislature, the way to deal with it is not necessarily to worry about the IMA, which is just going to cause a lot of problems and not solve our problems, actually, because the IMA doesn't govern us. Mm. What governs us is what we pass. And so whatever provision you want to do with the executive, which may not even necessarily be fully negotiated, or maybe negotiated, and we may not know what it is, should go in here. And that would probably do a lot more to move the ball forward and not necessarily upset the other eight municipalities. So we got to solve this in our resolution. Yeah. And
Dave, what you're saying is, and this is my issue, this IMA is a policy. We're the policy maker.
It's not a policy. It's an agreement between...
Which falls under, it could be a bullet point of a description of the policy. It's obviously in the policy world. It is not day-to-day operations. It is definitely falls far more under policy. I'm talking about separation of powers. Day-to-day operations, executive, policy and fund appropriation, legislature. It's a big deal. So what gets me is that the executive went off and negotiated terms that puts them, the executive, upon consultation. So they made, in this IMA, the executive made, and this is the parties agree, the County of Ulster, so this is specific to the County of Ulster. Dutchess County did whatever they did. I don't know if they included the legislature, even the chair, in the wording. But there should have never been wording negotiated by the executive with no legislative involvement to put themselves. We almost start from point, and now we hear, well, if we change that, we're violating the agreement with all these other groups. Well, the executive's branch is the one that went and did this and put the Ulster County executive upon. We want to know why we remain powerless, because we allow ourselves to remain powerless.
But it's saying here that the acting county executive, on behalf of the Ulster County Department of the Environment, has requested that the chair of the Ulster County legislature has be authorized to enter into this agreement. So obviously, I wish that our chair was here to find out exactly.
Where do you read that? That wasn't talking about the appointment process.
What Attorney Gordon is suggesting is that we accept this as is and then create a policy internally about how that appointment is going to...
What I'm suggesting is that the work before this committee...
Yeah.
My suggestion would be that the work before this committee would be to amend the resolution rather than to worry... Legislator Maloney feels differently, but the language in the IMA is broad enough that... It's not the core thing before us now. If you want to govern the appointment process, we should put that in the figure out an amendment to the resolution, which will nail that down. Then if for some reason, if we feel we need the IMA needs to be amended to reflect it, we can have that discussion with them at that point or not. But the real chore here is to legislate how we want this process to go forward. And that's not legislation that governs us. That's just an agreement between all these other parties, which...
And we could word our amendment that we basically give the executive the appointment, and then according to this, the executive hands it off to this group. So the point is, we do have to hold off. And if Tracy tells us that, and the rest of the group, I mean, most of us here agree that we'd like to see it this way. If Tracy disagrees and we're not going to have, and we know the rest of our colleagues are not going to go with us, we may have to just go with this. But I think it's worth a try. And if we don't start, you know, empowering the legislature is going to be tiny little pieces until we actually get there. You know, we have a charter, we've
we basically overnight went from running the government to being rubber stamps and not existing.
So I see a course of action here where we can, if we think we know the language that we want in our resolution, we can amend it right now. We could pass the amendment, but then we could wait to actually vote on the resolution if we want to take the next week and a half before session and get back to the Hudson 7 and say, hey, can you change this to match the way our policy making body wants it to be? We can talk with our chair or however we want to do that, but we could propose an amendment now, or we could take no action and plan to address it at the special meeting we're having anyway and do all that work anyway. But that's what I'm hearing from Councilor Gordon, that the IMA is not something, we know that's not something we can change. We need to tell them, but we can tell them what we want if we make an amendment.
It's not something that you can, something that might be complicated to change, but more importantly, the governance of the issue that we're concerned about, which is the appointment process, is properly done in our resolution. The IMA is a terrible mechanism to try to govern how the appointment's going to work here, A, because it's just not the right document, and B, the language was deliberately drafted to be very, very broad. It's just a consultation thing. So if the concern is how we're going to get this appointment done, the answer is to legislate that, and it's to do it in this resolution. Mm-hmm. Whether we do it tonight or a different night is whether you're ready to try to amend, or, and we have a representation of the administration here. But the job is to decide that and to legislate it, and then we can sort of get to the IMA down the road, because it's not the critical issue, and it's also the more complicated issue to
there's
to
nothing
get done with the language.
Unless I'm misreading it, I don't see anything in the resolution that addresses that one
correct
way or the other.
And that's what, and right now it's an empty box, and if you don't want
and
to be an empty
in
box,
in order
you need
to
do that.
Make it less complicated, because I've been privy to how much back and forth there's been with the Hudson 7, I don't think it should be an amendment to this resolution. I think we should pass the resolution, which does not specify, and then we should legislate that specification, and we should do it right away, maybe not in time for this session, but certainly in January.
In other words, you want to do a subsequent resolution to deal with that appointment.
Let's give ourselves the shot on the 19th to add one sentence or two sentences, what it would take. If we don't, we'll all then pass it then and then go with yours. But at least we give ourselves one shot at it.
My concern is, if we do that, does it change the IMA in any way so that they have to go through another process?
No, here's why it doesn't necessarily, because as you said, Joe,
still before them.
Like we could decide as the Ulster County government, this is how we're going to do it, and we're going to then send our appointment to the executive, which is what their thing says, and then tell them they have to pick our person, basically. If we don't get a change made to the IMA, then it's fine, because we've done what they've asked us to do, but internally we did it the way we wanted to do it.
There's no difference in voting it through what it is right here, right now, and the 19th. Because it's got to go to the floor during session, and we're getting together for a couple minutes before session. What we're saying is, and if we don't pull together, and Tracy and Chris go, and we do what you do, and we go, okay, we do it on the 19th, and it still goes to the floor the same way it would if we voted on it right now. It'll be codified by the body.
It is scheduled to go to the Ways and Means Committee, which I believe is on the 12th.
I can't hear you.
It is scheduled to go to the Ways and Means Committee, which I believe is on the 12th. So that, I don't know if that would impact the...
They'll meet after we do for the second time.
Yeah.
They'll have another meeting after we have
Ways
our
and
special
meets
meeting.
The 19th as well.
On the 19th, okay.
Yeah.
Right, F5.
So...
One more.
Yeah.
The important thing for the reason we're doing this... becoming part of the Hudson 7, Hudson 9 through this amendment to the MOA is to be able to confer the funding and the financial support for this coordinator position. So they've been anxiously awaiting this process to happen so that they can start hiring a person, and this...
It was also my understanding that there was a real time issue here, because they're not meeting, the Hudson 7 isn't meeting again until next year, and I mean, as much as I want to have codified how, you know, the chair should consult with this group, I also don't want to like screw everything up with the
Duchess County and the seven, the six communities. Everything we're talking about is still before session.
Maybe we should just talk to Tracy and just have a discussion with her about who she intends to appoint.
I move we postpone this to December 19th.
Is December 19th session?
Yes, it's a Monday. It's
so you would do it. You would make the amendment on the floor
because we're meeting anyway before.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would have to meet before Ways and Means then, right? On that.
Which we're planning to anyways.
So prior to 5 o'clock. So earlier than 5.
Ways and Means could amend it actually.
For we just put off. What we put one other thing off, didn't we?
Did we put off nominating the resolution?
We already have a 5 or 10 minute meeting plan.
And she has to be in Ways and Means anyway, so we have to do it before 5 o'clock.
So we have that meeting already. And I'll be going to Ways and Means on the 12th.
There's a motion to postpone.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? I am opposed. I think we should act on it tonight and handle the hiring separately. Motion carries.
I'm going to vote with Matt Jones.
Okay, so the motion carries 3-2. You have the votes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Till the 19th.
So we are postponing. I still do not believe that that it's necessary for us to specify in this resolution how the appointment of the coordinator or the, I forget the title, but of the staff person is going to occur. I concur with everyone that it should be by the chair of the legislature, but I'd be fine if it were otherwise. But I think it could make a problem with getting this passed, and I believe that that's an internal issue. But anyway, we voted to postpone, so at this point, I would like to move on, and we'll report this to Tracy and see if we can work out, and if you have suggested language, get that to Tracy and see if we can work that out to the special meeting.
Go ahead. I would just like to say that we held this up a month or two ago, and at that point, we weren't even, Ulster County was not, we were going to have a non-voting member. So it was going to be an 8-member board, no tie break, and we didn't even have it. We held it up, and now it's gotten to this point. But we were moving forward, correct, without a voting member. So far, this committee's done their job. We now, because we kicked it back to them and said, go negotiate us into being a voting member. By the way, I don't know how you put an even number of people on a voting board.
That's exactly what the
first document we got in this committee that we held up successfully has gotten to this point. So let's not think that us holding these things up isn't always a good thing. Is not a good thing.
What you just said, if I may, is exactly why I think we should vote on this and then deal with the appointment process.
Last time we'd be sending off a non-voting.
All right, it's been postponed. I'm going to move to, let's see. Resolution 547, approving the execution of a contract for rate anticipation to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with plug-in stations. And I believe we pretty much discussed a lot of that. Is there a motion for discussion on Resolution 547? Go ahead. Motion second. Okay, Legislator Stewart, Legislator Erner, go ahead. So my only comment is that I have great concern about how the industry, the electric vehicle industry, is moving forward. And because we have been working with ChargePoint, we're sort of over a barrel and stuck with them. And their customer service is abhorrent. That said, I absolutely want to move forward. I don't want to do anything that will put more people in the position I'm in, where we have an electric vehicle and can't charge it. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, after we voted to hold this up last time, I had Director Vaza and I had a call the next morning, and thank you for explaining to me the importance of this and assuaging all my concerns. I'm very happy to support it tonight.
Okay, anyone else? All right. I'd like to call the question on resolution number 547. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? I'm going to vote no for the reasons stated. Okay. I wish it would get me a ChargePoint card. But anyway, let's see. We are holding off on filling in the appointments for resolution 618 and 619,
right,
which brings us to 632, confirming reappointment of a member, of a member to the Environmental Management Council, Simon Strauss.
Who has these appointments?
Was that a motion?
Yes. Move to discuss.
And
Gina?
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just want to say that I've worked with Simon Strauss on energy issues, and he is an asset to the Environmental Management Council. All right.
I was going to say, I used to serve on that board, and Simon is great.
So. Yeah, great. Okay, all in favor of resolution number 632?
Aye.
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 Aye. Yes.
Aye.
I'll just ask, anyone opposed? All right, motion 632 passes. And 633 has quite a list, so I want to just read the list of confirming reappointments to a member of the Environmental Management Council. And this is Leslie Supranant, Nikita Orsia, Rob Ferry, Ted Grice, and do I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second? Okay. Any discussion?
I was just going to say, I had a discussion with Nikita. Nikita's actually a young man. Well, I say he's young, I don't know how young he is, but he's younger than me. but anyway, he seemed very excited and willing to work, and he becomes well regarded by Tom Conrad, the chair of the Marlow County CC, and so I think he sounds perfect.
Okay, and who was that?
The second town of Marlow, Nikita.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
all right, then. If no further discussion, I would like to call the question. All in favor of the appointments listed in resolution number 633?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries. And Now we are up to resolution 634, also an appointment or reappointment to the Environmental Management Council. And in this case, it's Sarah Underhill representing Wawarsing, Kristen Shara representing Town of Wawarsing, or both Town of Wawarsing, and Dave Haldeman representing Town of Shongo.
Actually, that's a typo. Kristen Shara represents Hurley.
Motion to amend.
Yeah, that should be fixed.
I'm sorry?
It says Hurley on
it. It says
backup.
Hurley, New York.
Yeah, Kristen Shara represents Hurley, not Wawarsing.
Okay.
I move to amend that language to say Town of Hurley.
Do we have to make an amendment or just... can we just... we do. Okay. So...
I'll make that amendment.
I'm going to assume that that was an amendment from Legislator Stewart.
Second.
Second. Yeah. All in favor of amending resolution number 634 to say that Kristen Shara is representing the Town of Hurley.
We'll strike Wawarsing.
Yeah.
It's Hurley and Wawarsing?
No.
Just Hurley. That's a typo.
Okay, so we just fixed that. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
You need a motion to discuss this.
No, not for a straightforward. Oh, for the whole thing. Yes. All right. I need a motion to discuss resolution number 634 as amended.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion now that it's been amended? I'd like to call the question. All in favor of resolution number 634 as amended?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye.
All right.
I was just going to say that all three of those people are great. So
good. Okay. And 635. We already. Wait, no, we didn't
do
that.
Yes, we did.
We did that
and
earlier.
We passed by.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. 636. Amending the 2023-2028 capital improvement plan. With project number 574, UCAT rooftop solar installation, amending the capital budget, authorizing execution of an intermunicipal agreement with the Power Authority of New York, NYPA. Can we have a motion to discuss?
So moved.
Bill? And second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this resolution?
Yes.
I told Chelsea earlier I consider this a Christmas present. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. What is our current situation with electrical generation for this?
Good question.
Yeah. You mean like a backup?
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Is that what you mean by electric generators? Are you talking solar generators, or what do you say? What do you ask?
So we're going to put this on the roof of the headquarters of the Department of Transportation. What is my question? Let me come back to that question. I have a different question. my second question is, I'm talking about NYSERDA. New York Sun megawatt block program. What does all this mean? I see incentive of 35 cents per watt of DC. Can you tell us more about that?
That's part of the rebate program that the state provides for solar installations across the state. They have a residential block, a non-residential commercial block, and then a large-scale commercial block. And each of those has a tiered schedule of how much the incentive is per watt of installed capacity at the site. And currently for this project, we'd be looking at 35 cent per watt incentive.
Okay. Now, is that station, is that for installation or is that for power production?
That is an incentive based on installation capacity. So
yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So if it's 145 kilowatts, 35 cents.
So
yeah. It works out to be about $50,000.
Gotcha. And on the NYPA project summary, I see we have construction costs and contingency, I understand that, and environment subtotal, I understand that, project management. Those are the categories, and you added up financing, I understand that. So we have $557,000 for the project cost. The management is about $132,000, so we're like 20-25% of this is for management. Is that a normal percentage, would you say?
So when working with the New York Power Authority for these projects, they have a model that is authorized under state law to do energy services for municipalities, and they can do a design-build model where they take the project and take the initial scope, and they go all the way through from procurement through design, construction management, etc. So they have a standard fee they charge, which is 10 or 12% of the project cost, depending on the type of project, and that's governed by a master cost recovery agreement, which is an overarching agreement that we already have in place with them for this type of work. So that's that number in the estimate is a percentage of the total estimated amount.
So you said 10 or 12% normally, but I'm getting more like 20+%
The project management subtotal. Okay. So their fee is the $59,565. That's their percentage.
Okay.
And then the other fee of $72,000 is from what they're expecting the designer will charge. So the engineer who designs the system. So they will procure that engineer, and they will manage the engineer through the process, but it will be a separate cost item.
Okay. And then you might have seen my highlight underneath that, my last question about this, but just per year I see estimated electrical savings, it listed in kilowatt hours, it listed in dollars. Is that per year, $10,000 per year, 150 kilowatt hours per year? And 17.5 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, are those all annual amounts of savings?
Annual numbers, yeah.
Okay.
So we haven't gone out for the RFP yet?
No.
See, we've talked about being so specific and out there, there's got to be a way for us to approve things and not put these guesstimates on price out there, especially when we don't get backup to what that even means. But, you know what I mean? When we get these, when we get these numbers, sometimes whether it's the jail demo, we're constantly putting out, oh, it's going to cost this. We also get very specific in those RFPs about what expectations we have from the company at times, where there's only certain. You start requiring. This has got nothing to do with what you're saying.
I can make a point.
But we have to put that in there. We got to be specific.
The specific cost. The way the Power Authority structures it is a not to exceed amount. So they scope the project, put in the estimates, and then their intent is that
to keep it
we will
that.
Not have to go back for reapproval.
Okay.
But they're also transparent in their billing. So as they subcontract for this work, we see those invoices. We see the procurement that they do. We'll have that backup material as we go through the process.
And if there's a significant change, they have to come back to us.
Correct.
So I would, if there's no other discussion, I would like to call the question on resolution number 636, amending the capital budget with the UCAT solar installation and authorizing. Oh, I had one other point I wanted to make. Hold on 1 second. I just wanted to point out a secret issue, that we are agreeing that this is a type 2 secret. Is that correct? I just want to, since we're kind of building up our secret chops, I wanted to point that out. I believe that that part of the resolved is that this is a type 2 action. Am I on the right? Maybe I'm mixing things up. Yeah, no, here it is. Whereas Ulster County has determined that this funding action does not pose a significant potential environmental impact and may be progressed as a type 2 action in accordance with Part 617 CEQA, and does not require any further determination or procedure under CEQA. So I just wanted to point that out, and we can go ahead and...
If I may, because you were really quickly, I want to make this clear. I mean, it's just in a whereas clause. It doesn't matter that much. I just want to make clear to the committee, because we are trying to develop our secret chops, that the sentence in that whereas clause contains two statements about this action that are not consistent with each other, that have different classifications. And it's either one or the other. I don't know which one it is because I haven't been presented this yet, but I just want to make this clear. It says both that the county has determined that the action does not pose a significant potential, it should be adverse environmental impact. That's one thing that it says. And the other that it says is that it may be progressed as a type 2 action. That is not a thing. Just to be clear, I've mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. The CEQA regulations have lists of actions, a type 1 list and a type 2 list. The type 1 list is irrelevant for this discussion. I don't want to go into it. If something is on the type 2 list, and it is a list of categories of actions, and I don't know if this is on it yet because I haven't compared them, but if it's on the type 2 list, it is statutorily exempt from CEQA. It doesn't go through CEQA at all. There is no CEQA determination. In particular, there's no determination of significance. It doesn't happen. It's just exempt. A determination of significance would be what the first phrase of that sentence says. Ulster County has determined that this action does not pose a significant potential adverse environmental impact. That is done for either a type 1 or an unlisted action that goes through CEQA. You've studied it, you've looked at all the potential impacts, and you've determined that it does not have a potential environmental impact. So I would prefer a clarification, but at this late hour, I don't mean to say that you need to fix this because it's just a whereas and you can move forward. But in the future, I would suggest that we keep separate a type 2 action and an action that may be type 1 or unlisted that requires a determination of significance, which determination will take some time and effort because we'll have an EAF and we'll go ahead and look at all those potential impacts.
So basically, we should, call in you a second, we should simply strike the part, the determination.
I don't know which is wrong, but I would also suggest that if something's a type 2 action,
okay,
that the drafter of the resolution say why, because the type 2 is a list of type 2 actions in NYCRR 617.5, and whichever one is if it falls under type 2 number 12, we say so, and then we say why. That will be clarifying for everybody. At this point, it says it's type 2, and we're also going to determine that it doesn't have an adverse environmental impact. And so, my only comment is, as an attorney, I would want to know more, but it's already 9 o'clock, and I'm not at all advising you to do that.
It's not a resolve; it's a whereas. But have this straight
because it is a whereas
going forward. But what I've noticed is, I like having Dave. We didn't always have Dave at my first term. We didn't have Dave in here, and he's been correcting things and educating me on a lot of this lately. I always like to get him to look at the stuff. Who writes this? Us? You? Dennis? Who? What does he say?
I apologize to the chair.
No. I'm learning here. So it is a type 2 action. I don't know the specific paragraph, but it's type 2 because it's rooftop and has no historical significance in the building.
If it is on a type 2 list, then I would suggest that we strike out. We say it's type 2 list. It's on type 2 and therefore is exempt from seeker. That's a consistent statement, and strike out the analysis that it doesn't have an adverse environmental effect.
I agree.
Okay.
Yes. I agree. I mean, it should be correct.
The writer agrees, so that's.
And also, I have a request
you're 100% certain it's on the type 2 list because I haven't checked it.
Yes. Okay.
Moving forward, I do have a request that anything that if the word secret is going to appear in a resolution, that the secret issue be resolved before it comes to this committee. I bring it up so that we learn and can correct things moving forward. And I do so because I care a lot about this, and I feel like I've been recalcitrant in the past, so I want to get it right while I still can. Go ahead.
So I want to move we make that amendment. We strike
I found the reference. It's actually section 15 on the type 2 list. I think, is that what you're looking at? Installation of solar arrays on an open structure, provided the structure is not on the National State Register of Historic Places, located within a district on the national, et cetera. Okay. We found it on the type 2 list. We can make that reference. We've confirmed it. So let's strike out the first phrase that says it's determined that it has no significant adverse environmental impact. It should say that it's a type 2 action under the DEC type 2 list and is exempt from seeker.
So Ulster County has determined that funding this action is a type 2 action.
Type 2 action in accordance with 6 NYCR Part 617 of seeker and does not require any review of environmental impact under seeker.
I move we make the amendment as Councilor Gordon has just described.
Chelsea, did you get that?
Yes.
Second.
May I just ask a question before we vote?
Yes.
From Councilor Gordon. Is it appropriate to make statements about seeker and so forth in the whereas, or should we be resolving that?
No, it's actually, if something like this, you can recognize something like that. If you're making a neg deck, if you're making a declaration of significance, where we find that this will not have a significant adverse environmental impact for all these reasons, or we find that it will and therefore requires that's definitely in a resolve clause. Basically, whereas is our explanations, resolves are what we're doing. In this case, something as simple as spotting something on a type 2 list can be in a resolve, especially in a whereas, especially if you explain where you found it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Any other discussion? And I don't mean to prolong it, but I think we need to get into the habit of wording these properly moving forward. All right. So on the amendment is calling the question on the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. And then on the resolution as amended, and that be resolution number 3636, the solar installation with an agreement with the New York Power Authority.
Aye.
All in favor? Anyone
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We're getting there, folks. 636. Resolution number 638, establishing a capital project, Hall of Records building rooftop solar array.
Thank you, Chief.
I'm going to need to get a bigger Christmas tree.
Move all right. To discuss.
Motion to discuss. Okay, Legislator Erner and Legislator Hansett. Any discussion on this? And I don't think I saw SECRA in here, to have to adjust. Let me just double check. Okay. Any discussion? Yes, please.
Thank you. So this is a new roof. Why do we need further engineering services at this point? I read some engineers' report, a previous analysis, maybe. Yeah, how come we need this additional engineering work?
My understanding is this engineering is specifically for designing the solar array. So the electrical components, the layout, the ballasting system, the racking, the inverters, the interconnection, which wasn't done in the previous study. So there was a study done that assessed the structural capability of the roof to ensure that it would hold all of those things, but that's where that stopped.
Okay, and do we have a forecast electrical power output once we install this at this point?
It's 218,000 kilowatt hours per year.
218,000.
The estimate is based on the system size that they proposed. Now that can change based on the design itself, because there are penetrations in the roof that may require different standoffs and rooftop units and ventilation pipes and everything. So,
okay.
But that's the estimate.
And what sort of discussion have we had with the occupants of the building about conservation measures, or in other words, a plan not to consume more electricity?
None to my knowledge, other than general discussion and promotion of our climate action plan.
Okay.
I want to acknowledge Legislator Erner for asking about, for example, with the EVs, how are we going to be generating that power, acknowledging the importance of energy efficiency. It all adds up, but I think we have to keep it all in mind, and I really appreciate your raising those questions. Is there any other discussion? All right, I would like to call the question, Resolution 638, a capital project, the Hall of Records building rooftop solar array. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Okay, Joe, you're in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries, and yay. Last but not least, this is one of my favorites. Resolution number 6. I've been good all night, Chelsea. Sorry. Resolution number 640, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a payment in lieu of taxes. Agreement with Lewis Solar Partners for solar energy systems pursuant to real property tax section 487, Department of Finance. And I'd like to just make a comment. I think this is the first time this has come up recently. This is actually what we consider a reverse pilot.
Uh-huh.
In the sense that...
I missed that.
I'm sorry. This is what we consider a reverse pilot, in the sense that the developer and the property owners are exempt from paying taxes, but they're using public services, and so NYSERDA has created a scale by which. In such circumstances, the county can request and then authorize payment in lieu of taxes where they're paying because they're exempt, instead of the other way around, where they typically, a pilot is that they're asking for a reduction in taxes, and in this case, they're essentially agreeing to pay taxes in spite of the fact that they're exempt. Yes?
Yeah, I think it's...
Wait, I'm sorry, we didn't move to discuss. I'd like to move that we discuss.
A motion to discuss? Okay. Second?
You're automatically exempt by the state, I believe. And there's often, and I think this is triggered by the municipality a lot, and then comes to us. We're part of the approval, but only for our own exemption. The towns can still do this anyways. The majority of their exemption is through the municipality that they exist in. But there is a chart that we're supposed to, that basically lays out the size of the project and everything and what they should end up paying. And I often think it should be included, because we've done this 100 times now, or 50 or 60 times. And it is included.
It's in the backup.
I've requested that.
Yeah.
So but this is just the payment. I want to see what the recommendation is. There's an equation that the state puts out that if you just kind of plug in the size, blah, 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 and then you come up with it. How do I know there's not a certain, you know, think about it. It just happens in government too much. There's a certain person that knows somebody or makes a donation and they pay less than other people. I would just like to know that we're following that chart to the letter on every single one of these, what we call reverse pilots, even though this.
So you want the nice survey recommendations then?
Yes. That's what I'd like to see in the backup, that this is how we came up with this number. Here's the chart, the equation we're supposed to use. This is the exact number. I would just like to know that we're doing it with equity across the board to every one of these projects that we do this with.
I echo what Joe just said. I'll say that. I just want to note that although the default is that the state would exempt this from real property taxation, we could pass a local law that didn't do that. We've had a little bit of discussion. But we could.
The county could
say, no, we're not going to do that. And that's discussed in the language here around opting out. We could choose to opt out of real property tax law section 487. That's obviously a separate discussion since we haven't done that. But I see that the county is anticipated to get the same revenue as the town of Rosendale from this. Does anyone know if that's normal?
What do you mean?
On this chart, each of the town and the county each year get the same exact amount of money. Is that normally the way that the pilot would break down? And also, how does that compare if we were to opt out and say, no, we're going to tax this the way we tax other real property on an improvement? How then would the tax that went to Rosendale versus the county break down, if anybody knows the answer to that?
I always thought the municipalities got a bigger chunk of this.
I think that's right.
Annual payment to tax.
And I have, as much as I am thrilled to see this project move forward, I am going to ask Penny Coleman, who she and I worked on the solar mapping tool for town of Rosendale, to look and be sure. I think we did a cursory look, and this may be forested land. So, you know, just by way of full disclosure, we desperately need the solar infrastructure. But we need it to be sited wisely and not be covering prime farmland or cutting down, especially core forests. So those are two questions. I can
And I don't quite understand how the. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, ma'am.
Go ahead, please.
I was just going to say I don't quite understand how these payments are arranged. It says the first one's $4,000 and then it goes up 2% each year. Is that correct? I mean, I just don't quite understand how that plays out over the long term.
I have different figures from you, Eric.
But his point remains that I was thinking the same thing. This is something we need a presentation on how it works. I mean, does a set value ever come into play? I'd like to understand the process more, but it's not going to happen tonight. But I know exactly where Eric's going with it. I just see a number, and it goes up a tiny bit. But what is how do we get to this number? What are they using? How are they going up? What is the percentage they're going up? What's the justification for that? How do they come up with that?
I'd also like to know what happens after the last year, 2037. Is there just no payment anymore? Do they get taxed if our jurisdiction had not opted out? But since we haven't opted out, they won't be taxed.
Yes.
But I'd actually like to move that we postpone this again for our special meeting, if you can get, so that we could get the answers to some of what you were saying, because I'd be inclined to vote no. If we're taking down forest, I just can't support that. And I know that's not going to stop the project, but it would be my message.
Yeah.
I would have a hard time voting no if it's built on prime farmland or cutting down forests. So I'd have a hard time supporting it.
All right. Is that a motion to postpone?
Move to postpone it December 19th.
Okay. Motion to postpone.
Alternately,
we can take no action, but it sounds like you want to do an official postponement.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, on the motion to postpone, all in favor? Anyone opposed? All right. For now, resolution number 640 is postponed, and we will bring back more information. Scheduling a full presentation. I don't think this resolution should wait until that happens,
no,
but
agree.
Maybe
agree.
In January we could do that.
Definitely.
All right. So we have completed the resolutions, and we had a discussion on the proposed local law for rights of the residents of Ulster County to clean water and rights of the Hudson River, also known as the Mahicanituck. Did I say that right? I should know that. I work for Clearwater. But I've always had trouble pronouncing that. So I'll have to take some lessons. Lorisopus turbidity, Ashokan release. We definitely will have a presentation on that moving forward.
And in the meantime, the chair is going to be talking to you about maybe getting a specialist, some kind of engineer, to basically opine on what the offer was, that proposal that we're getting from the DEC to hold the turbidity charges and have the county administer flood mitigation. I think no matter what we end up doing, that's going to happen at some point. I'd rather have it happen now. And then when we get the presentation, we can immediately start going over what we all want to do. But anyways, so that was just the last bit of what we talked about with that.
Okay. The last thing under new business is New York stretch code adoption. Legislator Stewart, was that a discussion you were leading? The stretch code.
What is that? I have no idea what it is. What's the New York stretch code?
Who's asking?
There are a list of regulations and suggestions. Well, actually, it will be made into law eventually. About ways that to improve insulation and energy savings. It kind of covers all aspects of renewable energy and conservation, and it's considerably stronger than what exists in many municipalities currently. I know that the town of Marbletown adopted the stretch code several years ago, and now they're trying to make it a state law, and it is my understanding that it is supposed to become the law of the land in the next year or two. And that's about all I know about it.
Thank you. A lot more than I know. I never heard of that.
Okay, moving on to old business. I don't think at this hour we have time for discussing the resolution redeclaring a climate emergency with specific actions. But I would like to ask everyone to think about commitments that we would like Ulster County to make in the face of an unfortunately rapidly increasing global climate crisis. So we're open to those suggestions, to send them to Chelsea or myself, and we will add them into a list, and we will try to really schedule some time to focus on this. I'm going to take the waffle word try away and say we will schedule some time to focus on this, to both list the reasons to redeclare a climate emergency. I think the last one was 2019, and a lot has changed, and it's for the worse. And accompanying this will be resolves that are actual actions. For example, that the county will achieve 70% renewable energy generation by 2030, without cutting down forests or covering prime farmland.
Yeah, seriously.
And but you know, real concrete, tangible actions that the county would commit to, we will put them into a resolution. It will be open to a public process. If we put something in that is unachievable, somebody can tell us. But we really want to seriously address this, both by acknowledging the problem and coming up with solutions, actions that are real solutions. Go ahead.
Yeah. I understand that we might not want to put this on our agenda before our annual session. However, the chair has said that she might call special committee meetings for January where we would meet with the new executive, and I might suggest we put it on our agenda for that meeting.
Absolutely. Yes.
Also, I was just going to add that Tim Guinea, who is a local, he's a resident of Marbletown, he's an actor, and he also served on the, he also serves with Black Friends of Al Gore's Climate Reality Project. And he does amazing presentations, and he's the one who actually suggested that we redeclare this emergency. And he's going to be speaking next week at some point. In fact, I think did we get a notice from that from legislative offices?
It's on my calendar.
I think we did receive it.
I can figure out where my cell phone is.
I think Chelsea sent it to us saying, like, an amazing opportunity or something.
You should send it tonight?
Anyway, we'll find it and send it around.
Okay, I'll look. I know, I send you so many.
No, it's just...
It's on my calendar, but I think I left my cell phone in my coat pocket. I don't see it right now, so I can't look it up. But we will find it and send it around. It really is worth attending. It's at SUNY Ulster. I don't know if anybody can do a quick search for it, but anyway, thank you.
And when we do that, when we bring the resolution, when we vote on the resolution, whatever, I think it would be really great if we had Tim Guinea come and address the legislature, and, you know, maybe we could, I don't know, present him with a Pride of Ulster Award or something like that. I mean, he's done a lot of amazing work in bringing environmental issues to the forefront and with a lot of the public, so...
We have a scout coming for Pride of Ulster in December, but maybe we could do that in January. That would be very appropriate.
Yeah.
Let's
having him give a presentation to the legislature, I think, would be really, you know, cool. It doesn't have to be a big production.
I don't know if it should be a full presentation, but
right.
You know, a brief few key points, and then offer the Pride.
And obviously, he's a very dynamic speaker, so, yeah.
Yeah, It's definitely at SUNY Ulster?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. I think we're going to, at this hour, have to postpone pesticide unless there's a sentence or two. Go ahead.
I mean, I wanted to invite Councilor Gordon, but you and Councilor Gucci had both informed us your opinion that the state preempts us banning pesticides and herbicides, for example.
Yeah, I did say that, but I want to be clear. That preemption is if we were to try to, for example, regulate all the activities in the county, including our private land. What I didn't say, which may be a positive suggestion, is that we have a lot more authority if we were to move forward regulating activities on our own properties or on our own land. For instance, we could ban or do whatever we want with pesticides.
Have we done that, man? I thought we have things like that about even the rails that we own, you know, that where we already don't allow. Nick, you would know
there's
more.
A law. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, but when it comes to regulating the private sector, the state labeling program is going to prevent us.
Okay.
But the county already has agreed not to do roadside vegetation management by spraying. They do manual cutting, and if you see brown areas where spraying has occurred and the vegetation is still upright, chances are that was done by the town. So, but if you see a county road, you could call and check. But I think they've been really.
We can't force them. But
we can't force them.
They would be like citizens of that. They're not us, in other words. We can't impose our rules on them that's different than the state. They can impose rules on themselves for their property.
What about county roads? We don't allow.
That's right.
We don't spray the.
That's my point.
We stop that too, right?
We can manage our property and decide not to. I would also suggest, I'm not sure if we thought about this, but in terms of affirmative management of our property, there's all kinds of issues with respect to pollinators, and if we can manage our property, there may be ways to manage our property affirmatively to help out that particular issue. I'm just throwing that out there for a later date. I don't want to talk about it now, but there's negative and positive things that we can do with our property.
And everyone knows that I'm a strong supporter of the Catskill Mountain Railroad, but I also would like to see them, create an agreement about manual vegetation management, which I think is practical in most places, and I think it's worth a discussion if we ever have a track meeting again.
So to speak.
Hint, hint. Okay, I think we have got through most of the old business.
From the public about the last topic?
Oh, yes.
I just had a question.
Please speak up, I'm so deaf.
If it's a public health concern and, you know, it's affecting the municipalities with pesticides in the water, how can we not regulate that?
So we legally, the way the state, we're an extension of the state. Anything the state rules on or has a law on, we cannot change. We don't have the right, we don't have the ability to do it. So with regards to...
And what would happen if you did make...
No one would have to listen.
Nobody would have to listen, but could the state, like, would you get in a lawsuit with the state?
Likely it is we'd get in a lawsuit. Whoever we're regulating, I'm not sure what you're referring to, what you're thinking of, but if we were to regulate another party, a town on their land or a private party, and they didn't like it, and our regulation was actually preempted by this. Not all regulations are, but there are certain areas.
So if we outlawed Roundup,
for example, there are certain areas where the state has regulated and we can't go, we're just preempted. If we tried to do something against another party that the law just said we're going beyond our authority, they would sue us.
Okay, so, and what would happen if that, like, turned into, like a movement there?
Well, if you can create a movement, then the answer is you can change state law, and you could do it in a bunch of ways. First of all, you can get rid of the preemption, or we can have a special rule for Ulster County, they can pass that. In other words, if you can create a movement to demand things, there are ways to loosen that up, but until that happens, we're stuck with the law.
And what's interesting is the state of Vermont, when you're talking about composting food, the state of Vermont has outlawed any food going into the garbage, period. You can't really enforce it, but it's a way to emphatically indicate.
New York State also has the law, but it doesn't totally outlaw it. There are certain rules.
At times that happens, especially
right.
if the law you're talking about is
that people have a
is open to this is pretty hard black and white what we're talking
which
about
one?
With this. Yeah, with something like that. I have a law right now that mandates that all pharmacies in Ulster County have to have a drug drop-off box. Then I was shown some little line in a state law that's very discretionary, but it seems like maybe, so my point of view, and so is the other person that put it up, let's do it, and it would take a pharmacy to sue us and take us to court. My point is, no pharmacy, is Rite Aid gonna sue the county and say, we don't wanna have a drug drop-off box?
Right.
So there are times, what you're saying, go ahead and enact. I think this is one of those times, it's so black and white. It'd be tough.
But you know what might happen? If Rite Aid didn't want to do it, they could just not do it and wait for somebody
to. And then we'd have to go after them.
Or somebody
would go
to the town building inspector, and then at that point they would defend themselves in that case.
But most pharmacies, because of public, I think, would just get into it. I mean, it's not a hard thing to do yet. And there's environmental and.
I'm just saying that, I remember the gay marriage in New Paltz when the mayor did that, it made a giant impact on the entire state.
But you can, again, there's nothing wrong with the test case, and it's going to make it, test cases on environmental
like
stuff are not as dramatic as things like gay marriage or in the civil rights era going to jail for violating a vagrancy law or something like that, but there's all different types of public expression. One thing you should be aware of, though, is that most environmental resolutions, such things that we were speaking about before in terms of toxics in the world and things like that, it always comes out to a compromise. And for a bunch of reasons, usually the other side, the side that wants to use these chemicals or disposal techniques or whatever, there's usually economics behind it, and at times there's even health issues behind it. I mean, for example, if we're talking about chipping and the electricity, there's an argument that electricity powers hospitals and things like that. So this is all, and that's one of the, we didn't get a chance to talk about the law that much in terms of my own analysis of it, but the thing to be aware of is that environmental laws, environmental regulation is very complicated. The environmental issues themselves are complicated because protecting the river, for example, there's all kinds of different issues in the river, and then you overlay that on the economics and things like that. So this always takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of activism. Does take the public, but it also takes the smart people, the engineers and the people like that who sit down and all the rules, including the rules that people think don't go far enough. There are all these compromises.
I say, I don't know if my opinion matters, but I say, go for it, get sued. I think that's more.
Okay, I have a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
Want to thank our guests for coming this evening and letting their views and sharing their views with us,
and
also for sticking it out. Wow,
yes.
And I have a question about home rule, but I'll ask Attorney
Let's
Gordon after so we can vote on the motion to adjourn. All in favor? Okay, motion passes at 9:35. Okay. And thank you all. And thank you for staying for the whole time and being so helpful. Thank you, Nick.
Good night.
Get home safe.
Yes.
Nick,
bye.
I want to
have a
good
night.
Thank you.
So, if we got told there's at the end.
So, you've been here more than 12 hours.
Yep. It's great.
How you doing?
So appreciative.
I'm excited to walk out of the building.
Makes a huge
Can I help
difference.
That go quicker for you?
I don't think so. I just have a lot, too.
General Fox.